Hello and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Score, the podcast that brings you the views and opinion of those in the news, brought to you by Khelnow. I am your host Ashish Negi. Our guest today is one of the most experienced coaches in the sport. He has played in and managed multiple teams across multiple countries and continents. Apart from managing top flight clubs, he has also headed certain national teams and has done a commendable job with them. Now, he will carry the load of expectation from huge number of Odisha FC fans in the upcoming Indian Super League season. A very warm welcome to the Juggernauts' new head coach, Stuart Baxter. Hi, Stuart. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. So, good. We hope that you are ready to pack your bags and come to India.
Yes, Ashish, as soon as the pandemic and the powers that be allow me to, I'll be on the plane.
Okay. So can you tell our viewers and listeners, you know, how this happened from South Africa to India, you know, how did club convince you to come for this project and what did you like in India to come for, you know, this job?
Well, when I was in South Africa, we just finished playing the African Cup of Nations. We'd been in Egypt, we'd had a very good tournament and we came back and I decided that was time for me to leave after that tournament because now that we're going into a new four-year cycle for the next big tournament. So it was a good time for me to leave. And I was really almost 100% moving to China. So I moved back to Sweden, waiting for negotiations to complete. And then things went very quiet. And I wondered, why are things so quiet? And then, of course, it became official that COVID was unleashed upon us. And then I was stuck in Sweden. Now, the next step was that I learned about the interest of Odisha. And I considered it backwards and forwards. And then my first reaction was, let me start working. I've never worked in India. Let me start working and let's see if the football world can recover from this. And then I spoke to the people at the Odisha and their project seemed very interesting. And it just grew. It just grew and we enjoyed each other's company. So we said, well, at least we can stand each other for one season, even if it's in lockdown. So then we started talking a contract and that's how it all kicked off.
So with your experience in CV, you have a huge network of the people, I'm sure. Did you consult anybody before taking the decision? You know, anybody who played in India, any coaches who have worked before? Did you consult anybody before taking this decision?
I know a few players that have played in India. And I have to say, it probably wasn't a good idea to consult players that have played in India in the very early days.
Yeah.
Because it's a different animal now than it was then, you know?
Yeah.
So bad pitches, lots of traveling, no rest, no recuperation. That was the early days. And I think Indian football has come a long way. So the person I spoke to about the situation now was Stephen Constantine. Stephen was one of the students on the courses when I was working for the English FA. So I got to know Stephen then and I followed that up with a few questions about the league now. And I know, for example, Bobby Houghton and people like that that gave me, Colin Toll, that gave me good, very positive information about the development of the game.
Of course, Stephen, Colin and Bobby Houghton, all are the coaches who have been involved in the development of Indian football in the last 10, 15 years, you know, and they have done a very good job. So you talked about, you know, the different project compared to what you're doing. Odisha FC is the new club, you know, they have very good support from their local government. They have a passionate fans. Now the season has moved into, this season will be not take place home and away model. It will take place in Goa. So are you sad about this? Not to, you know, come and meet the fans and stay to play without the fans?
Well, not sad that we're going to Goa because Goa is a very nice place and the people are very friendly and there's not a problem, there's not an issue there. And the fact that we're in a sort of bio bubble is the same for everybody. So that's one issue. But the fact that we're not playing in front of our own fans, yeah, we'll miss them. And the fact that we're not really doing our part in the sort of the advertising of the Odisha and the province and paying back a little bit of the cooperation with the local government. Yeah, I'd like to be doing more tangible things to help that relationship. But I'm sure we'll do all that we can, and we'll have to make sure that the team is a good advertisement for the region, and also that the fans can enjoy identifying with the football that we play.
And you told about, you know, you talked to the various coaches before coming here. What was your impression of ISL? You know, you also talked there earlier season when ISL came, you know, 2014, 6 years today. Everything was not perfect. Of course, there was new thing in Indian football. People were excited for it. Yeah. We saw these marquee players coming in. Now things have changed. It's a lot proper, moving towards a proper league, nearly a proper league. Yeah. Now ISL club is playing into the AFC Champions League also. So what was your overall impression, you know, before taking this job of the ISL and the Indian football?
One thing that struck me was the similarities between me coming in now into Indian football and when I went to Japan. You know, I was in Japan at the very first year of the J-League, and lots of the challenges that the ISL is having, I've seen them before in Japan. It was exactly the same. We discussed all the same things. You know, no matter how many foreigners should we have and how many games should we play and what about youth development and all of these things. And so that was also one of the things that sort of led me towards to get being involved again, because I really enjoyed that part. And I feel quite proud now that I was involved in the development in the early days of Japanese football.
We had Zico also, I think first three years in ISL, he was also involved in Japanese football, and he's played a very important role shaping what ISL is today. Talking about Odisha FC, Odisha FC, a very young squad. Before you came, there are lots of young players. So how did your foreign recruitment, you took decision on the foreign recruitment on the Indian player? Did you decide that you need to fill some gaps which is there, or you want to fill with some experienced player in some important departments? How you decided on those decisions?
Yeah, I think it's a valid point. You know, we went down the road of empowering the youth and trying to make Odisha FC a window, if you want, for the youth, the younger players to sort of profile themselves. Now, to do that and allow that to happen, you've got to make sure that you've got the correct foreign players. Now, I'm not commenting at all about the foreign players that Odisha had before, but the ones that we wanted to bring in now, we had to try to tailor it more a little bit to suit the needs of the young players. Because we'd made that decision to go with a younger squad, then the next step was to make sure that the players that we brought in from abroad would be the correct type of player, with the correct skill set, with the correct mentality, and yes, everybody that's been in the transfer market knows you can make good signings and bad signings, but we wanted to try to, as much as possible, complement and give the younger players the best possible opportunity.
Yeah. Talk about foreigners. You also brought in an assistant coach, Gary Fairton, a former Arsenal goalkeeping coach. Why Gary? First, that is my question. Second, that how you decided, you know, that he's a, of course, former goalkeeping coach, has a various goalkeeping coach stint, that he will be your assistant coach. So is he also taking care of the goalkeeping department, or you will have a different goalkeeping coach?
Yeah, well, I met Jerry in Japan when I was in Sanfrecce, Hiroshima. Jerry had been taken as goalkeeper coach to Jubilo Iwata. and we secured winning the championship on his ground. In that, for my first year. So Jerry impressed me with the way he made an effort to come to our squad and congratulate everybody, and I stayed in touch with him. And then when I moved from San Francisco to Kobe, I approached Jerry and he came in as goalkeeper coach. When I went to Stockholm, I took Jerry with me as goalkeeper coach. When I left Stockholm, went to the English FA, Jerry went back to England, and Arsene Wenger, a friend of mine, he said, listen, goalkeeper coach, who do you recommend? I said, hey, Jerry. Jerry was there for 15 years, and I think the last couple of years was more or less an assistant coach. You know, Jerry was already then grooming the goalkeeper, a young goalkeeper coach. So Jerry's a fully qualified coach, not just a goalkeeper coach. So when I got the opportunity now in Odisha, Jerry was working in Japan, and he called me one morning and said, I'm leaving the club. What are you doing? I said, well, I'm going to go to India. So I said, and what about you coming with me as number two? Now, Jerry brings with him a wealth of experience from Champions League finals and FA Cup finals, the year of the Invincibles with Arsenal. You know, he has got a wealth of experience. And as an assistant, he will be great. We will have Ramos as the goalkeeper coach, but as a resource for the goalkeeping department, he will be great. And Jerry has got a very, very positive attitude, you know. So I think, again, with the younger players, he won't be one that's walking around if we have a bad time with his head between his legs. He'll be one that's geeing up the young boys and giving them a bit of encouragement. So it was quite an easy decision, and I'm sure that the management of the club are delighted to have brought Jerry to the club.
I think, of course, he's worked with Wenger, Arsene Wenger, for so long that he will bring that experience into the Indian football, and especially considering the Odisha FC squad, which is very young. Lots of future India national players are playing in the club. I think it will help them. We also got a new assistant Indian coach, Stephen Dias, former Indian international. Fantastic. One of my favorite players. I've grown up while watching him. He just used to put lots of crosses from the right wing. So how are you going to use him? And, you know, do you think that he can complement your staff like Jerry, Ramos and other people who are around the club?
Yeah, look, every club I've been at, especially the foreign clubs, I've always wanted to have a home-based coach working with us, because I think that's, in one way, it's a sort of, and I want to say this with all due respect, it's a sort of mentoring, you know, it's a sort of, you know, having with us so he can learn and he can then ask questions. So there's that aspect that if I was to leave in 1, 2 or 10 years, it doesn't matter. I'm leaving something there that can continue the way that we're working. And on the other hand, Stephen has a role to play with the Indian players, because if I'm not completely wrong, I think the Indian players will feel more comfortable speaking to Stephen as the first stop before going straight to the head coach and saying, hey, listen, Gaffer, I don't think that's the Indian way. So
yeah.
I'm not vastly experienced in India, but I don't think that's the Indian way. So I think Stephen will be invaluable in that respect, to be that first stop before he says, well, come on, let's go and speak to Stuart about this. And I think if I deal with that properly, then that will also open up, because we want our coaching and we want our sessions to be a process of learning. And to learn, you've got to ask a question. And Stephen will be valuable for me in that respect. And also, I hope that I can get him involved in the session so he can develop his own personality.
Yeah. As you told that, you know, we Indians, especially we are taught that we need to keep, you know, our coaches, teachers on a very high regard. You know, they are like treated as a god in many parts of India, you know, that they are at that level, yeah. You know. So sometimes young players might hesitate to come to you directly, and that's a very, very good point, you know, that they need somebody familiar face with whom they can share their concern if they have any. So now this is your technical team. Brajo Ramos also worked with national team, very experienced goalkeeping coach, you know, and he was under this, he was here in 3-4 years with Stephen Constein. He's also very good coach. Now we saw many ISL teams doing lots of activities, digital coaching while this lockdown was going on. How Research he managed the manage that time, you know, the, when the COVID thing happened. Of course, you can't do the physical session. Are you guys doing any online sessions with your players, technical or their diet or their physical program or the gym or something? Are you maintaining that?
Well, John's got the physical coach has got the physical aspects. He's building from where the point that where they restarted. And we've been building now to sort of make this a base to stand on when we now get together in Goa. So the physical part, that's probably the easiest part. When I say that, the easiest for the players. The tactical, technical part is very difficult because we're not together, we're not kicking balls. So we've had Zoom meetings and team meetings where we've had the whole squad, and I've gone through the basics, the nuts and bolts of how I'm thinking, the principles, without going into the details. The details we'll get to on the pitch. The principles, I think, let's say the supporting walls of the building, those we can put to them now. And we'll have probably one more meeting before I go down, and then we've got the challenge of quarantine, and maybe we'll have another couple of meetings during that time, and then we'll start working properly. But we've been working. Is it perfect? No. But is it a step in the right direction? Yeah.
It's with same with everyone, you know. Odisha FC already have a domestic roster before you came. So did you got chance to watch those player videos or something to see that how these particular player perform, on which position, what are the best position? Are you doing that also?
Yeah. Well, before I actually signed with the club, I did a complete assessment of the staff. So I wanted in my mind to know, is this staff the one I'm going to be inheriting, and do my opinions of what I'm seeing, does that match up with what they've seen in the past? So yeah, I've checked out virtually the whole squad, and we've signed younger players. Obviously, I've had very little input into that, but I trust the judgment of the people that are there, because their thinking and my thinking was the same, and that's why I wanted to do it. You know, they said if we need a left back, I know that I'm not going to get there and say what the heck have we done? You know, we didn't need a left back. We needed a right winger or something, you know. So we're on the same page, and it was we're just pleased that we've been able to assemble so many talented young players. Does that transfer into results directly? Probably not, you know. But what it does, it gives us a good base in terms of our development, because we have to work on our development first, our performance second, and then the results will come. We can't sit now dreaming of winning the championship without actually making a performance and without actually knowing that we have the right people on the field.
Yeah. Now, next question is very interesting, and I think many of Odisha FC fans have reached out to us also, you know, to know about this when you got signed. Just to tell you, we actually break the news of you talking with Odisha FC, and since then we are getting lots of messages of Odisha FC fans. You know, what kind of football Stuart Baxter's team play? I don't want you to give your tactics here so that the other coaches listen to it and they plan it accordingly. I just want to, you know, in general, what should the Odisha FC fan expect from your team? You know, in a playing style wise, you know, what should they hope for in the upcoming season?
Well, I'm looking. I think if you ask people about the way my teams play, you know, if you go back to when I was at IIK in Stockholm, we broke the world record for not conceding goals. We went 12 and a half games without conceding a goal, and we broke a record that Dinamo Kiev had at one stage. I don't know if that record's still intact, because we went on to win the championship. And so we got a reputation of being a defensive team, but that was just because no one scored against us. You know, that was... Now, when I went to a different team, we scored 75 goals in a season. Now, I got the reputation then of being this gung-ho coach, you know? So neither are the truth, you know? So I think a lot of good work was done with the squad by the previous coach. And he did most of his work, I think, on building attacking play against a defence that was set, you know? So opening the field, playing through, playing behind, and getting strikes on goal. I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel there. I think we need to add to that a little bit. And I think then maybe we need to do some work on transition play. And we need both ways, because we conceded too many goals. And then set plays both ways, because again, we conceded too many goals. So I think I don't want to make our team less pleasant on the eye. I do want to make them a little bit more efficient. And I would like to see them being a little bit more ruthless.
I think it will give fans a little bit idea. And I think as we come closer to the league season, we will have a couple of preseason friendlies maybe to dig into and find out that what kind of formation and style your team will play. So have you set any kind of realistic target in your mind, you know, that this season you want to do this after coming to India, you know, performance-wise or the league stage or position-wise in the table?
I think whichever club that I arrive at, or even if it's a football association, my immediate goal, irrespective of the situation I walk into, my immediate goal is they should be better than they were when I walked in. You know, that's my immediate goal. Now, I'm guessing that if they're better than they were last year, then we're close to playoffs. Yeah? So my immediate goal is improve them, make them better than they were before. Continue their climb. And for the club's point of view, I'm sure that they want to qualify for top four for the first time in their history. So that's our immediate goal. And we will see very quickly if we're on track, and if we do finish top four, then it's game on, because then anybody then has got a chance to win it. So, you know, so I think it's going to be a step by step. I don't want to have one eye on the future, and then I've only got one eye concentrated on what I'm doing now. You know, so we need to live in here and now. We need to make sure that we concentrated on our job and our performance and our confidence and our enjoyment of the process. But yeah, I'm sure that the people outside and even the people upstairs, you know, they will want to see improvement, and that will take us top four and hopefully then see what we can do.
Many people are aware of that Odisha FC owner, Rohan. He is very passionate Indian football fan also, you know, and very involved in day-to-day activities at the club. How important role he has played till now with you, you know, to convince you to come to India, then of course to get the foreign targets which you need. How important role he has played in these things?
Well, Rohan has been the face of the club. You know, he's the one I've spoken to most, Rohan and Abik, and Together they presented a very ambitious, very, very enthusiastic face and their desires have sort of stimulated and motivated me to imagine, you know, well, where could we take this? It's the same as if you take a young coach or an experienced coach, you know, a young ownership or experienced ownership. Now we're lucky because we have we have the young ownership in Rohan, and the Dr. Sharma, he's the experience. So we have both ownership. But you know, you take a young coach and you get lots of enthusiasm and you get lots of ideas and maybe the calmness and I've done it all before, seen it all before. That's not, you know, that experience you've got to get. And if you get the older coach, maybe he doesn't have that youthful vibrance that you like, you know. So Rohan gave me that face, and I know that the club has got both. So it's Rohan has played an important part, without a doubt.
And talking about young and experience, your squad is also very young, and then you've got experienced foreigners. How are you going to maintain the balance between these young players and the foreign experienced player, you know? Because sometimes you have to manage experienced players differently compared to young players. So how are you going to maintain that balance?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there are two things that we're talking about. We're talking about, the one is coaching. The one is coaching, and you coach players, you coach people, you know? You work with their understanding of the game. You work on their understanding of their role, and you work on their understanding of being a good teammate. And then there's the leadership or the management. Now, you do that really with a project. You know, I don't like saying managing the people, because you don't manage the people. You coach. You give them enthusiasm. You give them motivation. But managing, that's what we'll do to the project. So I think I've got to manage the project, which is what you're talking about. You're talking about the balance within the squad. You know, and then we have to show leadership, and we have to coach the players. And again, there you have to make sure that the younger players don't feel intimidated by the foreign players. And the foreign players have to make sure that they are approachable to the young players. So that's my job. That's not so much managing. That's the bigger project we'll manage, but that is more about coaching, coaxing, about getting the right mentality, the culture around the team. And that's an important part of the job. And I think if we get that one right, then all of that youthful enthusiasm and motivation and inspiration, we'll allow that to flow. You start stopping that because they're a bit anxious or they can't approach the coach and ask him a question. If that's the case, then it could be a little bit stop-start. So I'm hoping not. I'm hoping that we'll create the environment where everybody will take part in the end result.
Yeah, now, talking about league, in ISL, especially in India, the number of foreigners are also getting involved. You know, we started with 6 foreigners, now 5. Now there are talks of getting 3+1 from next season. What do you take on this rule? And do you think having 3+1 rule will help Indian football in the longer run?
I think it's a healthy debate. That's what I think at the moment. I think it's a healthy debate. We had the same in Japan.
Yeah.
They had that. In the beginning, there were very many foreigners that probably were past their best, but had a great name, a great impact, and served a great purpose in terms of inspiring the younger players. But when the younger Japanese players were getting better coaching and they were reinvesting into the youth, when they reached a certain level, the dependency on the foreign players was not so great. So then you could bring those numbers down, and I'm guessing that's where we're trying to go with the Indian game. I'm a foreigner, you know. In a perfect world, and I say this, with all humility, in a perfect world, India would like me to stay in Scandinavia, because every coach would be Indian and every player would be Indian, not because of any racism, but just because we would like to see that development in our game. Now I'm coming to India, and I want to give my knowledge, and I want to help as much as I can the development. Now, if I'm successful, one day all the coaches will be Indian, all the players will be Indian. Until then, we can have these healthy debates on how many players is the right level. You know, are we ready to to push the Indian youth forward. Or let's, you know, Cantona did that job for Manchester United. And Eric Cantona came in to impart his knowledge onto the Beckhams, the Scholes, the Butts, the Nevilles, the Giggs. You know, he came and gave his knowledge so that they could then take over from him. He could go home and Man United could have the team that they had. That's basically what we're trying to do on a national basis in India.
We'll hope that you will be here for many years. We don't want you to go home, you know. You know, the amount of experience you have, it will help Indian young players and coaches, as you said. Because that's how the league also evolving now. So now there is a possibility of having an Indian coach as a head coach in ISL. It was not possible, say, when the league started. So we are also evolving slowly with it, you know.
Yeah.
So let's talk about something about your career also. You played in football all across the Europe, but then you went to play in Australia also. I was just reading that you are you played for Australia on official friendly game, but because you did not get the passport, so you're not able to play the official game. What was that? Yeah. You know, can you tell the viewers and listeners about it?
Yeah. Well, I went to Australia. I went to Australia and played for South Melbourne. I was playing one day when they came before the game, told me that the new national coach is here at the game. He's a German called Rudi Guttendorf, and he's heard about you and he wants you to play with Australia. Wow, very nice. Well, I played the game and I broke my nose. I broke my nose in the game, but with about 5 minutes to play, I went up for a corner and I headed the ball and we scored. And he came to me after the game and he said, this is the character that we want in the national team, and made a big fuss. And it was nice. It was a nice time. And I was considering, you know, should I give up my passport or not? And they allowed me to sort of take a stamp in the passport and salute the flag, and then I could play these sort of friendly internationals. I played 10, but then when the qualifiers came around, they wanted me to give up my British passport, and my wife was at the time, she didn't want to do that. She wanted to have her home in England as our home, and so it was actually before a game, and therefore I couldn't play that game. I refused to take it, and so it was nice. It was a nice time, and I enjoyed it. And it was really nice because when I was a South African national coach, we played Australia. And the Australian media made a big fuss of, you know, a former Socceroo captain. He's now the coach of South Africa. And yeah, it was a nice one.
Yeah. So how you have seen the Australian football change in the since you were there as a player in 1970 and 80s. And now, you know, A-League and there are also things changing. So how you've seen that? And is that, you think, have grown the way it should have when you were there in the year?
Well, I think there was a few aspects of Australian football at the time. One was that the football in the beginning grew from the different ethnic groups. You know, Australia's, it's a cauldron of ethnic groups. You know, there's Croatians and Greeks and Brits and, you know, whatnot.
And in
India also, okay. And so they sort of, in the beginning, it was just sort of the local lads got together and made a club. So, for example, South Melbourne, South Melbourne Hellas, it was a Greek-based club. And so that's how it started. And then the Australian government wanted to take away the ethnic angle. And so they were all renamed and it became a different league. And then a lot of money was invested into the youth development and to make the national league instead of the state league. So, you know, it developed along those lines. And again, I'm looking at many of the questions that they had then about youth, you know, about foreign players, about quality training facilities, you know, getting local governments involved in supporting promoting the activity for young players. So all of those things that we're going to be speaking about in India, And again, the Australians out there in their national academy, for example, is one of the best in the world. And I'm guessing that's why they've advanced to the place they are now.
Yeah. Not talking about quality here. Of course, A-League is way ahead of ISL right now in terms of quality. But this season, in the transfer market, Indian clubs have dominated A-League clubs in terms of signing these players. You know, they've got lots of players from the Australian clubs to India, and many players were in between the battle of Indian club and A-League clubs, which eventually was won by ISL clubs. So, but we hope that we will be able to match their quality going ahead also. Then you also moved to US in 1983, you know. And what was that experience? Because, again, that's the same phase like we are in right now in India. They had some type of a soccer league. Let's talk about soccer now. Yeah. Let's talk about soccer league. Yeah. They signed best from Manchester United, a former Manchester United legend. And then, of course, they went to the emergence of the new league called MLS. So how that period was and what you experienced from that?
Well, I went across there on a sort of a loan. You know, when I was in Australia, we played the national team played against the Americans. And we played a couple of games. And I stayed out there on sort of a loan deal. And that was, and we actually played in Australia against the New York Cosmos with Pelé.
Yeah,
we played against Pelé and Beckenbauer, so I was playing against them in Sydney at the Sydney Cricket Ground in front of 55,000 people, and we actually beat them 2-1. But that NASL was very similar to the old Indian League, you know, where famous stars would come and play for five or six games, then go back to their clubs. And to be honest, it was not a serious league in terms of, is this a vehicle to develop American football? What it was a showcase, a razzmatazz, that would get lots of kids playing football because they looked at it, wow, that's good. Let me. And so it grew. The game of soccer grew because of the NASL. But then, you know, that had to get serious. Those kids had nowhere to play. You know, they had nowhere. They couldn't jump from being a college kid to playing against Pelé. So that had to be rethought. And then, so you got the sort of the team America, where they took players in and kept them on camp and played with the American team. And then you got progressing to the MLS, which is a much more serious league and is one where the game can actually develop using the MLS as a vehicle. So I think the American game is followed, maybe like India, it's gone from this league, which wasn't a very good vehicle. It got people used to the game and more interested. Now we have a league that we can actually develop like the J League. You know, the J League was a vehicle for them to develop, and money from there was invested in youth, and that's what I think. That's what I hope that the ISL league now will. If we can learn anything from all of these different leagues, then I hope that's what we learn.
Yeah. So talking about Japan, you had two stints with the Vissel Kobe. So Japan is one of the most successful Asian countries in the football, you know, talking about club football, national team. What we Indians or Indian football can learn from Japanese football? Do you think which we can learn from them?
I think there's many things that I'm saying that Indian football can learn. There's a lot of people, England, Germany, France, they can learn from Japan. The way they were so meticulous in approaching development. So, you know, the J Village that they opened, the coaching center with lots of pitches and lots of facilities for coach education and player development, the investment in grassroots, the sort of finger on the pulse all the time of how many foreigners do we, what, how much money do we invest in the foreigners? And all of that, you know, the development of training facilities, the development of stadiums, How pleasant is it for the supporters to come and watch as a product? Television rights. You know, it was the J League became a better and better product at the same time as it became a better and better vehicle to develop football. So I think all of those things. And then there was the obvious thing was that there was the one about allowing the youth players to go into the league. You know, it was encouraged by the league that the in the reserve team there had to be a certain amount of young players, and then that automatically fast tracked people through into the senior team. So all of those things, I would hope that we will look at, and some will be very relevant for India and some will not. But I would hope that we will look at that and we'll say that we can take that and we can add it to the cocktail that will become the formula for the advancement of the game in India.
Yeah. So when you're going through your profile, I saw that you coach lots of club, but then you took a job of England under 19, you know. And that time you were coaching club who were playing in Champions League, Europa League, UEFA Cup and all.
Yeah.
Then to go with the international team, with age group team,
how
you took that decision and why you thought of, you know, coaching a age group team?
No, that's a good question. I mean, when I was working with AIK in Stockholm, we did the double. We went into the Champions League. We played Arsenal, Barcelona, Fiorentina. It was fantastic experience, fantastic time. And then I got the offer to go to England, to the FA. Well, to a Brit, that's a big deal, you know.
Yeah.
If it wasn't working with the senior national team, the senior national coach was Sven-Göran Eriksson. I knew Sven very well, because of my time in Sweden. Excuse me. And Sven, you know, wanted me to be involved in the sort of the coaching team that was sort of planning the development of the kids into the seniors. So I enjoyed that. It was working with some very, very good players. You know, Wayne Rooney was one of the lads that came through, Stuart Downing, Wayne Routledge, Jermaine Genas, many, many, many top names. And it was good to work with those players, and it was good to see their development. I think I realised during that time that probably I was more suited to working at a senior level and bringing young players into there rather than working at that level and pushing players up to someone else. So I missed that cutting edge, you know. Every international game is a big game, whether it's under 19s, under 20s or full international. But I just missed that sort of cutting edge. So it was great, but I prefer working at the top end.
Yeah, because when I'm going through your profile, you know, I was just checking that you play your managing game, the Champions Leagues, and against Arsenal, Barcelona,
yeah.
And then for various club, not for just one club. And then I thought, okay, under 19 job. So of course, as a British coach, that's one of the dreams, you know, to get involved in the national team setup. So I understand. Then, of course, you went on to manage the other national teams, senior teams. Mm-hmm. So this is my go-to question whenever I talk to coaches, you know, what was the major difference between managing a club and then managing a national team, you know? So did you find any difficulties managing a national team as compared to club?
I think we spoke about managing or coaching. And so when you're a national team manager, you are managing a project. And the coaching is shorter. That's a frustration for me because I am a coach. I want to work with players. I want to develop players. I want to build teams. I want to build relationships. So managing the project suddenly became the biggest part of the job. And I missed the everyday. Sometimes I miss the smell of the grass. That was basically what it was. But again, you know, we play, when I was with Finland and we played Germany in the World Cup qualifiers in front of 52,000 people in Hamburg, or in front of 45 in Helsinki. And they're unfolding the German Eagle flag on the far side and playing the German national anthem. You know, it's a big night, you know. So that sort of game, it was worth it. You know, for those events, it was worth it. But if you're asking me what I prefer, I'd probably prefer the day-to-day building process of working with, having that closer contact with the players and building something. That sense of achievement is longer. The sense of achievement beating Egypt in the African Cup of Nations with South Africa in Cairo in front of 90,000 Egyptians, that moment was fantastic. But, you know, the building process is not as, it's not as, you don't have as much input.
I just wanted to ask that thing only next, you know. You said, you would prefer the club job, but irrespective of that, your job, the job you've done with South Africa, you know, at African Cup of Nations 2019, you reached quarterfinal and then, of course, defeated Egypt. How special was that tournament, you know, and where you put that as a, your maybe say, on the list of the success you got in your career as a coach and a player?
I mean, all successes are relative. I mean, I think Jose Mourinho says that finishing second with Manchester United was the best result in his life. He's maybe a little bit tongue-in-cheek there, I think, but I get what he means, you know, because he thinks that he squeezed out the last drop from that squad. That's what he's talking about. And whereas if he's got the Inter Milan team or Real Madrid team, maybe it's not so big to win stuff. I get that. This South African process, you know, I came back to the South African national team. When I was at Supersport, Dr. Danny Jordan, who was the president then of the Football Association, approached me and said, "Stuart, we want you to come back." And I said, "Hey, I've been burnt once before, I don't know." And Danny was the driving force, really, in changing the FA. So I went back, but Supersport had gone to a cup final. They said, on condition that Stuart comes back to us to take us to the cup final. So my first game with South Africa was a qualification for AFCON in Nigeria. And then 2 weeks later, I had the cup final with Supersport. I was a fool because if I'm losing Nigeria, they say, because you're thinking of the cup final. And if I win in Nigeria and lose the cup final, then the supporters say, because you're not our coach anymore, you're the national coach. Luckily, we beat Nigeria 2-0 and we won 4-1 in the cup final. So it was a relief for me, but that's how I got back into it. And then I had to dismantle the team and build that young team that finally went to... we hadn't qualified for a major tournament for 12 years. And so to qualify for Egypt was good. To beat Egypt and go to the quarterfinals, we lost to Nigeria 2-1 to a last second goal in a very good game. So everybody was quite proud of the young boys. And yeah, that's how I got back into it.
Yeah, so South Africa hosted 2010 World Cup, you know, and there, of course, lots of discussion of India hosting in future. I don't know at this point we can host it or not. Did you think, from your experience working in South Africa, do you think the 2010 World Cup helped South Africa, or because it can be economic boon also, right? When you hosted a major tournament like World Cup, happened with Brazil when they hosted World Cup and Olympics, you know, many of this economy crisis not able to recover from it. So how South Africa got benefited from World Cup from your eyes, because you worked with the club also, you worked with the national team also later on.
Yeah.
So what was your experience on that?
I think the answer to that is both yes and no, because When I was the national coach the first time, I've actually got a photograph on my wall of shaking hands with Nelson Mandela when we were awarded the World Cup. And at that time, I know that I was saying, already now, we have to be preparing the national team for that World Cup. We have to be giving the young players experience there so they can represent us with pride in 4 years' time. So I was already, they didn't do that. They didn't. And then when Carlos Alberto Pereira came in, he said, you know, where are the players? You know, the players that you've given the experience to over the last 4 years are now 33, 34. And he had to do 6 months' work in, he's 4 years' work in 6 months. So they didn't follow that. And because of that, after the World Cup, the national team had to be dismantled. And so instead of becoming the golden age of South African football, the job started there. Now, they had beautiful stadiums and the interest was high and, you know, they'd learned a lot about putting on major events and then, you know, South Africa became known for you can host big sporting events. So, yes, it was positive, but it wasn't really the launching pad that it should have been. And over the following years, some of the training facilities, for example, they've not been upheld properly. Some of the stadiums, they've not been used as well as they should. They've been used for pop concerts instead, and it's ruined the pitch. And so, in as much as it has been a massive thing for the country, I don't think it's been as big for the game as it could have been. And there's lessons there, I'm sure, for India.
Yeah, India hosted Under-17 World Cup. That was a major FIFA tournament we hosted first time. Now we are supposed to host the Under-17 Women's World Cup also, which is, of course, postponed because of the COVID. And that's the big next big debate in India. Now, should India aim for... Of course, we all Indian fans will love that we qualify on the merit instead of hosting it. But hosting it also is very tough. You know, the financial demand of hosting World Cup is huge, you know. And, we have seen that countries like Qatar is how they are going to manage. So that's the next World Cup. So let's come back to Odisha now before we wrap up this show. You have nearly six foreigners now with you. When you got this job, is there any player you thought, okay, I want to bring, this is my go-to man, or this is going to be a major signing. I want this player to come to Odisha FC. Was there any player from those six? Of course, two were playing already in India, Onu and Marcelino. They were already playing in ISL. What about the other four?
Well, let me say, in principle, what I wanted was I wanted to sign a couple of players that our supporters at this moment could identify with. I wanted to galvanise the support a little bit with giving them players that they respect immediately. So that was Manuel and Marcelinho. So that's that part of it. Then I was looking at some leadership qualities. Well, I had no one in mind. I had three or four players that I knew, well, they are available and they would represent that sort of player. But then when we saw Stephen Taylor, I knew Stephen from my time with the English Football Association, and that was when Stephen indicated that he'd be interested to work with me and Odisha again, then that was, for me, that was the leadership quality that we wanted. And then we wanted good characters with good experience, and you know, we think we've got a reasonable balance. We've got a lot of technique, and Diego is a very interesting player for our supporters, and I think he's maybe a difficult proposition for our opponents. We're looking to tie up a South African midfield player that's one of my former national players. And I'm hoping he's a very good character and a very good player. And everybody else has been part of that same sort of ethic. So I didn't have a dream player that I've managed to bring in, but I had in principle the type of player, and I think we've done that. I think we've hit that. Now, what I've done is I've tried to go for six rather than the full seven, and then let me make a plan with how we fill that seventh place. Do we keep it in our back pocket? Do we fill it now? I'll solve that one, but I want to make sure I get those six that we really wanted, get them tied up properly, and I think our fans will enjoy that.
On paper, these six looks very exciting to us as a neutral or to the club fans. Even the opponent fans will be, you know, a bit worried when they see somebody like Marcelino and Diego running towards their goal, showing the Samba message. So, just to the fans, club fans and other football fans, how much homework you need to do, you know, to sign players, especially in India, you know, it's not like Europe that you can sign number of foreign players. Wherever six slots, it's difficult to replace player between the season, you know. So how much homework as a coach you have to do to sign players in Asian countries like India?
Well, I think you've got to be very careful. It's fraught with problems. So when I was, again, I'll go back to Japan. When I was working in Japan, they were paying big money. Gary Lineker came for massive money. I think he was injured, and then, you know, he was still a great ambassador. But, you know, you have to be careful that the company is getting value for its money, that the game is getting value for its money. There were many players that came to the league, took a lot of money, did very little, showed a very poor attitude, and then left. Didn't affect the Japanese players in a positive way, didn't give a face of football that anybody wanted to see. So I think we're in the same position now. We have to make sure that people that want to come to India, they know that they have a responsibility to the club, to their teammates, to themselves, and to the game in general. And if they understand that responsibility, are willing to take it on and come for all the right reasons, that is a candidate. If, on the other hand, someone is coming because, you know, there's a few more dollars to be earned here than there are there, and, well, I like Indian food, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da, then maybe that's not the right one that you should be bringing. So that's difficult to do when you're not in season. I can't travel and meet him. I can't travel and watch him play live. So it's a lot of video footage. It's a lot of telephone calls to people that have worked with him or contacts that I have that know him. And you know, we've done a lot of work. So sitting here, I'm in my office now in Sweden, sitting in here, watching endless hours of footage and coming up with six names, that's the job of a modern coach.
Yeah, it's like a director of football job you're also doing, you know, identifying the players you need and then getting them on the dotted line. So now with the COVID thing, you know, do you have prepare any special schedule once you get into Goa with your squad, physical wise or tactical, technical? What's your plan for that, training wise?
We have first of all to get everybody in. That's a challenge to start with. You know, the players that are in India have started testing. They will move in earlier than me. I will land. I've got to do 14 days quarantine, whereas the players I think have to do 10, and they will come out. What we're trying to do is time it so they come out of their quarantine. During quarantine, they'll have a physical plan. We'll be having a couple of Zoom sessions as well. As they come out, they will go into small group training with Stephen. They've got 1 week of that. And at the end of that week, I will come out of quarantine and then we will start together full squad training. And so that's the process up until the start of proper training.
Okay, I think, and we wish you very all the best for that. And we hope that you bring the success to the Odisha FC. Thank you for taking your time out, Stuart, you know, for this. And we are very glad that I got the chance to speak with you, you know, and the amount of experience you have. I think everybody in Indian football will be learning from that in next upcoming seasons, you know. So it was my absolute pleasure to have you, Stuart Baxter, with us today. To our fans and listener, you can to our viewers and listener, you can listen out all episode of Beyond the Score podcast at your leisure at Spotify, iTunes, JioSaavn, Gaana, and all other major platform. You can also watch in the video form on our YouTube channel, which is KLNOT TV. Until next time, this is your host Ashish Negi signing off. Thank you.